So we Hey, Con's a jobbing off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fatty as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. This is episode 17, Post-Apocalyptic Chic, November 24th, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. This week's episode will feature segments titled The Back Porch, The Front Porch, On the Screen, Off the Shelf, and Ever Expanding Skill Set. Show notes can be found on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. This week, I heard from listeners RKO, who is Katie from Colorado, Sanders, Sandy from Michigan, BLB, Barbara from Stowe, Massachusetts, who won the Sari Silk at the Pipeline Knitting Retreat in Maine, Joe and Jules, who is Julie from Holland, and Leslie H., from Vancouver, Washington. There was also another 5-star rating on iTunes this week. Thanks so much. The Back Porch. Well, I went to Boston for a few days for the National Writing Project annual meeting, and I came back to winter weather. We already had some blowing snow and high winds last evening, and it puts me in mind of cozy evenings by the fire and some nice home-cooked meals that take a long time to finish up in the oven. I was on Twitter quite a bit during the annual meeting in Boston and doing some knitting as well. I had mentioned in the last episode that I thought I would cast on a very simple hat pattern, and I didn't end up doing that. I took a few projects that were already on the needles. One was the Infinity Lace Cowl. It's a pattern by Tanis Gray, and I've knit the pattern already, but this time I made a shorter version from Lion Brand Amazing in the Arcadia colorway. It's a quick knit on size 8 needles, and I finished up the cowl when I came back yesterday. The pattern is mostly knit rows and purl rows, with one row that has some yarn overs, increases, and decreases to give it a wonderful wavy pattern. It will be a great gift, and I already have another one on the needles to finish up before the end of the month. Another project that I knit on when I was away in Boston was the Capuchin hat. It's an interesting hood-like hat with tassels on the ends, and I put a pom-pom on the back. I knit it on size 9 needles in Ella Ray Classic Superwash Chunky. The pattern is by Adela Ilikhmanova, and this is a top secret hat for Christmas for Samuel. He saw the pattern because I had a bunch of things lying out on the table. He commented on it and seemed to be interested. So without showing him that I've been working on it, I just completed it and I put it in the box of Christmas gifts. I'm hoping that he will be too busy with upcoming shows to be listening to the podcast over the next couple of weeks. So this top secret knitting will stay a secret. Speaking of Christmas knitting, we still have a poll going on the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry about Christmas knitting and how you manage to get it all done. By far, most people knit for just a few folks on their Christmas list. That category has 9 votes so far, with just a few votes for more than a few people. There's also a contest going on that will close at the end of the month, it is to give the details of a side dish that you will make for the harvest table. I'm still auditioning recipes for my Thanksgiving meal. Haven't completely decided on my menu yet, but I need to get in gear because the shopping and the pie making, all of those things need to happen very quickly this week. And it's a work week for me, so I have a lot of organization to do. But join in if you can and participate in the poll and the contest, and there will be some prizes. On the front porch is the Advent scarf, a pattern that is created each year by my friend Zemi. As I've said in a previous podcast episode, I have not participated ever in a mystery knit along where I don't know exactly how the project will turn out until it's done. This Advent scarf is unique because each day a small portion of the pattern is released. I do have some information from Zemi, and this Tuesday at the Mountain Knits and Purls Knit Night, I will be purchasing yarn for the pattern. Zemi says that you need 400 yards of a main color and a contrast color in a fingering weight yarn with another 200 yards of a second contrast color. And she recommends high contrast between the colors. I think she used red and white or green and white. This is stranded knitting on 2.75 millimeter needles, which is a US size 2. I learned to do stranded knitting and color work this summer from Joanne at Mountain Knits and Purls, and I have done exactly one piece of stranded knitting, which was a hat. So I'm a little nervous. Like I said, I've set aside all of December to work on this. I don't know about exclusively. I still would like to finish a whole pile of little mittens for holiday cards that I'm sending, but I don't have a lot of other projects that I absolutely need to complete, so I should be able to dedicate a lot of time and attention to this Advent scarf. I'm nervous and I'm excited, and we'll see how it goes. On the screen. This weekend, I started getting some Facebook messages from my friend Ashley, who sent me a couple of photographs with, "Can you knit this? Can this be done?" And the photographs were from the recent release of Catching Fire, which is the second in the Hunger Games trilogy. Looking around online, there are some extraordinary photographs of Jennifer Lawrence as the Katniss character in the Catching Fire film, wearing an extraordinary piece. It is post-apocalyptic chic at its finest. In the first film in the series, there was a lot of attention to fashion and wildly elaborate costuming, and this film is no different. I'll try to describe this garment. I've included a photograph of it on the show notes on yarns@yinhu.com. The piece is armor inspired. It's very bulky and thick in a silvery gray color. I've come to find out it is not a knitted piece. So the garment is woven. It has a very highly defined neckline, and then it's tapered off to one side with an armhole. Jennifer Lawrence wears this over a very fitted vintage-style leather jacket. I was intrigued by the piece, and I started doing a little bit of research online. The actual knitwear that appears in the film was designed by Maria Dora, and as I said, it's not knitted. However, on a blog called Knit York City by blogger Sarah Hurwitz, She discusses a pattern that has emerged from Lolly Knits. It's the Katniss cowl pattern. So it's being called a cowl. I think it's more of a tunic. I'm not sure what to call it or how to describe it exactly. The pattern from Lolly Knits calls for 300 yards of Lion Brand Thick and Quick tweeds. So very bulky, textured yarn. It's a free download on Ravelry, and it includes a tutorial for creating this coil-like neckline. It's knit on size 13 and 17 needles, and there are already 25 projects completed on Ravelry. I think maybe some of the fans of Hunger Games were completing it in time to wear for the opening of the movie. This is intriguing to me, and I would like to attempt knitting it. So Ashley is going to research some yarn. She's interested in undyed, possibly organic yarn, and we were talking over yardage requirements and consistency of the yarn that would yield a result similar to what is seen in the photographs of Jennifer Lawrence. The pattern by Lolly Knits features a herringbone stitch, which does very closely imitate the braided or woven texture of the garment. So I'm pretty interested in that because I have completed some herringbone style cowls before, and I can't wait to see what Ashley comes up with, and certainly I will keep Yarns at Yinhu listeners informed of my progress and create a project page on Ravelry so that I can document what it's like working on this piece. If you're interested in the pattern or the original design, I have linked to both the Knit York City and the Lolly Knits blogs on the Yarns at Yinhu website. Off the Shelf. Barbara Kingsolver is one of my very favorite authors. In particular, her memoir, Animal Vegetable Miracle, about spending 1 year feeding her family from the land of a farm she owned in North Carolina, I believe, is an extraordinary piece of introspection and healthy eating and cooperation among family members. In terms of expanding your skill set, this book is a must read, and I highly recommend it if you are not already familiar with it. This week, I came across a piece on knitting by Barbara Kingsolver called Knitting as Creation Story. It is featured in the current issue of Orion Magazine, and Barbara Kingsolver is also a contributor to a collection of pieces from writers on knitting. I'm going to read just a short piece from the beginning of this essay called Knitting as Creation Story. I will also link to the essay in its entirety on the show notes for this episode, and I recommend that if you have some time this week, you read the entire thing. It's so timely because it talks about this time of year and this feeling that knitters have, like a call to knitting, a call to pick up a project and start working on things that will clothe other people. In the essay, Barbara Kingsolver uses a rhetorical device called anaphora, which is the deliberate repetition of words, phrases, or sounds at the beginnings of lines or sentences. So she starts each paragraph of this essay with variations on the phrase in the beginning. And I will read a short passage starting at the very beginning of the essay. It all starts with the weather. Comes a day when summer finally gives in to the faintest, freshest of chill and a slim new light, and just like that, you're gone. Wild in love with the autumn proviso. You can see that the standing trees are all busy lighting themselves up ember orange around the hemline, starting their ritual drama of slow self-immolation. Oh, well, you see it all. the honkling chain gang of boastful geese overhead that are fleeing warmward ho, chuckling over their big escape. But not you. One more time, here for the duration, you will stick it out. Through the famously apply wood-smoked season that opens all hearts' doors into kitchen industry and soup on the stove, the signs that wink at you from everywhere, sticks of kindling in the fire, long white brushstrokes of snow on the branches, this is the whole world calling you to take up your paired swords against the brace of the oncoming freeze. The two-plied strands of your chromosomes have been spun by all thin-skinned creatures for all of time, and now they offer you no more bottomless thrill than the point-nosed plow of preparedness. Ever-expanding skill set. This week, what I really hoped to do was to bring you a recording of me talking to my mother about making pies for Thanksgiving. I've wanted to record her and have a conversation with her for the podcast, and when I visited her this week, it just didn't work out. She had too many visitors and too many other things going on, so I ended up talking with her a little bit and enjoying her company, but it wasn't a great time to record. So it's something that's still on the horizon for the Yarns at Yin Hu podcast, and I hope to bring that to you sometime soon. I do, however, have what I believe to be the last of the recipes for pumpkin. I've been on a kick to use pumpkin in a lot of my cooking this fall, and this morning I made pumpkin bread as well as pumpkin mac and cheese, which is completely new to me. I've included recipe links to both of those things on the website, as well as some photographs of the finished products. So if you haven't completely tired of my pumpkin recipes yet, you might like to try them. I'm really curious about how the pumpkin mac and cheese will turn out. I have it waiting for dinner tonight, and I can't wait to taste it. No matter where you are or what you're cooking, I wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. You can also join the Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry or like the show's Facebook page. The music in today's episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. Stay strong and eat well as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a subway nitrogen. Yes, a subway nitrogen. Yes, a mighty fine nitrogen. Yes, a mighty fine nitrogen. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Curtis, but out on a wire. It's a subway nitrogen. It's a subway nitrogen. It's a mighty fine nitrogen. It's a mighty fine nitrogen. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature.